This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's get to Anthea. It is time to find out what's happening with your money. Your Christmas money.
Christmas! What a day. Give a good gift to a good friend and you're okay. It's a joy. Shiny new toys brought for every girl and boy.
All right, here she is. Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
How are you, first of all?
I am very well. I am just getting fat.
Yeah, the weekend, for a lot of people, this weekend was a big eating weekend. Even if it wasn't like the official, you know, Christmas meals and stuff. I think weekends just equal eating and drinking.
But it's catching up with the friends you haven't seen all year.
Yeah.
So kind of
nice. All right. Do we have good news this morning?
Not particularly, no, I'm afraid. So no. We had closeout, derivatives closeout on Thursday. Huge volumes, much bigger than I expected. $4.4 billion traded on Thursday. And then the market was down about 2%. And During closeout, which is about a 20-minute iteration, so what happens is they take the average of one-minute iterations from 12 until, I think it's 12:15 or 12:20. I'm not sure whether it's 15 or 20 minutes. And then you give your average, and that's how, that's where the options and futures prices are calculated to close out, right? Kind of that's the level. And that was kind of orderly. It was fine. But then in the afternoon, like the market just kept falling and falling.
The
resources were down 3% on Friday. Financials and industrials down 2%. The Rand, unfortunately, had a bit of a bad turn, blew out. Touched 14.15 at some stage. But this had nothing to do with closeout. This was because the US Fed raised interest rates on Wednesday evening. And so, of course, you're seeing this differential between the Rand and the US dollar closing. And so people will take their money to higher interest rates. And I know we still have higher interest rates, but there's something called PPP, purchasing power parity. So how much you can buy for your money here versus how much you can buy for your money somewhere else. That's PPP. So basically a flood of money away from South Africa on Thursday, unfortunately, is pretty much how it went. You know, I think the U.S. Interest rate hike was an interesting one. So it was the first one in a year. So the second one in like 10 years or something. So U.S. interest rates have been very low until now because of the GFC and because they're worried they haven't seen growth. But what's going to happen going forward is that Janet Yellen said that they're looking to normalize interest rates. And I don't know what that means. So I checked the charts and I think she means around 3% because, at their peak, interest rates in the U.S. were 5% compared to ours. Our repo rate is 10.5%. You know, so the developed market generally has a lower interest rate. But she's talking about raising interest rates three more times in the next year or two, which puts Donald Trump in a little bit of a precarious position because there are only two ways for him to raise money, to spend money, to make America great again. One is through taxes and the other is to borrow. And if you're doubling interest rates, your cost of borrow increases hugely. And so I think she's going to make his job a little bit difficult. She doesn't like him, hey? There's no doubt about that. She said, she said Trump's election has put the central bank under a cloud of uncertainty. That was the first thing, yeah. And the second thing, when she was asked at the media briefing about his tweeting, she said with a very stern face, I mean, it's not like she's a kind of jovial person at the best of times, but she said with a very stern face, it's not her job to advise the president on how to behave, she said.
Well, he does. He's causing himself he's doing himself no favors by tweeting at odd hours of the evening.
Yeah, and stupid things.
And he does.
And spelling badly.
Yeah.
Did you see he spelled?
Oh, my God.
What was it? Precedence.
Yeah.
No. He's not our smartest smarty in the box.
He's still smarter than George W. Bush.
I suppose so. So they've set the bar really low. Moving on. So yeah, that's what happened with the Rand. I mean, there's not much else to go on kind of from a company point of view. So I wanted to look at where we were at this point, kind of from the beginning of the year. And I'm afraid it's not really good news. So the all share, but we knew this because we've been watching this market all year, right? So the all share from 1st of Jan until now is down 2%. Mm-hmm. Resources are up 26%. Financial down 3.3%, and industrials are down 2.5%. So if you add them up and just take the mean, you shouldn't get a negative number, but it just shows how heavily weighted industrials are in our market, and particularly Naspers. You know, Naspers makes up a fifth of our market. So if Naspers is down, then you can imagine the entire market is down,
right?
Which is why we're 2% underwater. And then the rand, since the beginning of the year, is 9% stronger against the US dollar. So we started the year at 15.47. Now we're about 14.07, 14.08. We're 23% stronger against the pound. And we are 12.5% stronger against the euro. So if you'd asked me at the beginning of the year if I thought that the rand would get any stronger, I would have said no. But you know, I mean, it did weaken significantly after Nene being fired. But yeah, that's been a surprise. The repo rate, which is the interest rate we use, we've had two hikes in the last year. So we started at 9.75. We're now 10.5. And the R186, which is our 10-year government bond, it's kind of what we use as a benchmark. We started the year at 9.76% yield of 9.76%.
Yeah.
And we're now at 9.02%. So the yields actually come back a bit, which is a good thing. And I think it's because we didn't get the downgrade we were expecting. Although I must just point out, so what the yield is, showing is that we're probably trading, just below kind of other junk countries, you know, junk rated countries or sub investment grade countries. But in December, the yield did go to 10.4%. So it did blow out a bit. It's really difficult for this one. There's no kind of average, if you like. Although I did look at the average for 2015 to compare it to where we were this year. And the last year, 2015's average yield on the R186, the 10-year government bond, was 8.2%. So it does show that we've done badly. You know, people are looking at us, and if they invest with us, they want higher yield. They want more bang for their buck, basically. That's
right.
What it's saying. And then just to compare us to international markets, the S&P 500 in the US up 10.5% this year. Dow Jones up 14%. NASDAQ, which is the very tech-heavy index, not so good, but still 8.6%. And you compare this to our all share index, which was down 2%, and suddenly we're really not looking that great as a country or as a stock market. The FTSE, because of Brexit, I had to look at this. So the FTSE 100 is up 12%, and the FTSE 250, so 100 is the top 100 shares, 250 is the top 250 shares, and this is in the UK. So the 250 is up only 2%, while the 100 is up 12%. And this is because one of them, obviously, the 100, is more, it gets more money from, it makes more revenue from foreign currency. Like we call ours rand hedge. We're a rand hedge currency. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our companies make money offshore, which they repatriate into rands, and therefore weaker rand helps them earn higher revenues. Same thing in Britain. So the FTSE 100 up 12 there. Eurostox, which is the European kind of benchmark collated indices, was flat for the year. The Nikkei, which is the Japanese market, was up 2%. And the Shanghai Composite, which is China, was down 12%. But there are a lot of issues with China. This was the year, kind of last year, for the Chinese market was great because every single retailer was investing and doing their own trading. And it was very much kind of a bull market for them. This year, they saw a couple of things. You know, they're worried about growth not being as high as it should be, even though it is 6.7%. They're worried about the yen. Oh, sorry, not the yen. The yuan or the renminbi. Yeah. So, yeah, the Chinese market really suffering a little bit. And then on the commodities, gold is 7% stronger this year, believe it or not, at $1,135 an ounce at the moment. Well, it's probably a little bit weaker now. And then Brent crude was up 47% this year. From it started the year at $37.57 a barrel. It ended at ended on Friday, more or less, $55.28 a barrel. But at the end of Jan, it did touch $27.83 a barrel. So
that's cheap.
Doubled since end of Jan to now. And I guess we'll wait and see kind of where we go with that. It's an interesting one because we know what OPEC's doing. They're cutting production, non-OPEC countries for the first time in like 11 or 15 years or something ridiculous have also agreed to cut production. So hopefully if they stick to their promises, it should be okay.
So basically, if we had to go back to January and you had all of this information, what would you have done with all of your money?
Hindsight, 2020 vision.
Yeah. Let's imagine that you had hindsight, perfect ability to predict everything.
For sure. I would have bought resources and I would have sent money to America, assuming that I did not have to repatriate it into rands.
Ha.
Yeah.
Then you would have made some decent cash.
Oh, hell yes. I'd have done very well.
All right. Well, there's no guarantee that 2017 will be better than 2016, but it won't necessarily need to be as rocky.
So it's interesting you say that because kind of I think that where we are now, so I've looked at, you know, we always look at shares on a price earnings ratio. Mm-hmm. And because earnings have been fairly steady and we're growing earnings at about 11% per annum, and because the price of the shares have fallen so much, like some of the shares have just fallen too much, you know, there's no reason for Naspers to be trading below 2,000 Rand a share. What's happened is actually that the PE ratio of the overall market is about 13.8 times, which is a lot lower than where it's been in the past. So I think we could actually see a nice little bounce this year, next year, 2017, just because shares are cheap. I mean, like, and so Naspers, for example, is trading on about a 27 times forward PE. That's cheap. Like, that's incredibly cheap for Naspers. And actually, I must just say on Naspers, we generally look at the sum of the parts. And even if you do a sum of the parts valuation on Naspers, it's still trading at a fairly big discount to Tencent and its other holdings.
Right.
Aspen's another one of those. It's on a, let's see if I remember, 14 and a half times forward PE. So really cheap again. The problem with Aspen at the moment, though, is that the share's fallen again. It's the same story. Share's fallen. Earnings have stayed consistent. Is the debt and return on capital employed. So for Aspen, for example, they've bought a lot of companies. They've done a, they've bought a lot of things and they've put a lot of goodwill on their balance sheet. And goodwill, like, it's a depreciating asset. It kind of just has to run off, you know,
but yeah,
kind of that's, if you're building a company, that's what you want to sell it. A part of selling it is the goodwill in the business. You know, the fact that you've put in the hard work. It's got a brand. It's got a reputation. People go to it for a reason. Not, it's not just all about the numbers, believe it or not. And then some of the retailers and the consumer retailer stocks are fairly cheap at the moment. But I think that this is the trick between choosing the right shares and not. Like, the shares that look cheap that I think will increase and the shares that look cheap I'm worried about. So I want to see a turnaround in the consumer being able to spend. I want to see a turnaround in the economy before I buy the cheap consumer shares. Like Pick n Pay, for example, it's another one that's ridiculously cheap. Woolworths, another one that's ridiculously cheap at the moment. But I think those will stay cheap for a little bit longer just because the consumer's under pressure. There's been no real GDP growth and there's no reason for them to pick up.
Okay.
No catalyst, really.
I got you. All right, Anthea. So maybe 2017 will give us that little bounce that you're predicting.
I'm looking for between 10 and 15% return on shares for
2017. Sure, we'll take it, please.
All things staying the same.
Okay, very good. And that's another reason to get involved in hashtag invest if you haven't already. I opened my account the other day and I see I'm like 4 Rand 42 up.
Yay.
Since I went in.
Hey, so, you could be down. So.
No, of course. But you can, depending on your appetite for risk, you choose one of the four products and just start with, you know, a couple of hundred Rand a month if you've got it, more if you have. And who knows? You know, you could grow yourself a nice little portfolio over 4 or 5 years.
Well, that is my plan.
Yeah.
Should we do a quick review of the portfolios and how they're doing?
Definitely. No, we got time. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So so you know how it goes, right? Conservative, stable, balanced, and aggressive. And I think we've called them something else because the FSB made us. So conservative is the conservative portfolio.
Right.
This is the one where you just want a nice little yield every month. Your capital is preserved. You know, it's not as volatile as your aggressive. For the first month, it returned 0.91%. So I'm quite happy with that. You know, it's not going to shoot the lights out. And don't forget, that's just for 1 month. And I'd like to say annualize that. So in other words, times it by 12, which is very tempting, but don't. And then the stable portfolio, which we've called the growth and income. So a little bit more risk than the conservative. Also, you just want this to grow steadily over the months, like every month for it to increase a little bit. This is, it's probably increased or returned a bit more than I was expecting, 2.4% or 2.36%.
Wow.
I know.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I'm nervous of that though. That sounds great. It is great, but I'm nervous of it.
What do you got in there? Platinum and gold and diamonds?
No, well, so we had government bonds. So we had longer dated government bonds, which did a bit well. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the growth and the growth portfolio, which is the balanced portfolio. So this is kind of, it's risky. It's volatile because it's got 75% exposure to equities and 25% to bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So a nice mix of kind of stability and volatility. Was up 3.34% in the
amazing.
Month.
Amazing.
I know, it is amazing. That was very good. And then the aggressive portfolio, this is the very volatile, very risky one. We're looking for higher returns. This only returned 2.56% for the month. So we've had a fantastic first month.
I'm thrilled.
I'm absolutely excited about it. The value detractors, what was interesting about this was the value detractors in these portfolios were kind of the resources which came down a little bit. Sibanye Gold was the big one. So Sibanye Gold for the aggressive portfolio detracted 0.8%, so almost a whole percent away from the return for the month. That's really bad. And resources in general were down about zero. Well, they weren't down by this much. They took away from the return of the portfolio between 0.1 and 0.2%. So,
right.
Like, you know, if you add all these up, they suddenly become quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Naspers. So the two horrible. And Aspen, the three horrible big ones.
Yeah.
Sibanye Gold, but you know they did that deal where they're buying Stillwater in the U.S. and they're issuing paper at 5x PE and buying at 55x or something ridiculous. People are worried about that deal. Naspers, it's a sentiment-driven thing, no reason. And then Aspen, again, sentiment-driven. So I'm really not too worried about the shares that took away from the portfolio. Now, the shares that added to the portfolio were great because they really outperformed significantly. You know, you had the financials and the banks, and I think that had something to do with us not being downgraded.
Right.
So, like, Rand Merchant Insurance, JSC, Barclays Group all added 0.2, 0.3%. First Rand added 0.5, so 0.5% to our return. And then the outstanding one was Truworths. Added in a full 1% or 0.9% to our portfolio, and Sun International added 0.5%. So kind of if you just add them all up, you can see how we got our 3 or 2.5% growth.
Very
for
nice.
The first month. We really outperformed
for a
the
month.
Market.
Now, how do you guys do that? When you say you annualize it,
we
shouldn't, but you multiply that by 12, that would mean, you know, upwards of 20% if it does.
You know?
I know you're saying that because you're going to have a shitty month where it's going to be in the negative.
Yes.
And that's going to happen.
But it's nice to start on a positive note.
Sure.
So that we've got some leeway at least. I'm very happy with these portfolios.
Wow.
And the ones I've got, you know, the shares that detracted, like Sibanye Gold, Naspers, Aspen, I actually am fairly positive on them going forward. So hopefully we'll carry on that way. And you know what we have to say, right? Past performance.
Past performance is no indication of future
performance.
Yeah, right.
There we go. Yeah. Because it's an FSB regulation.
Okay.
So when you see people advertising 13, 14, 15% returns, please be careful. I mean, there are so many of them around at the moment. And I can't believe that I see the adverts on TV. Like, I can't believe somebody's not regulating them. But because they're not FSB regulated, the FSB can't actually step in. It's like a cray, like they operate outside of the law almost.
Just be aware.
Yeah.
Don't get suckered.
Yeah. Make sure they're FSB regulated.
Right. All right, Anthea, thank you.
My pleasure.
Awesome. What a way to start the portfolio. There we go. If you needed more evidence of the fact that we're doing something different here, hashtag invest, and we are. It's for ordinary people to get involved in the stock market. This is your chance to get in for as little as $100, for God's sake, every month. It's nothing. Do it now, because if you miss out, you would have already missed out on those nice little incremental ups. And who knows how much that could deliver in time. Also, you know, we're quite realistic about it when we're doing something different here. Anthea, of course, very experienced in asset management. But we thought we would do something that opens it up a little bit. Makes it possible for you and me to get involved in the stock market without having to have a broker and a whole lot of complicated stuff. So if you haven't opened up your account yet, go and do it immediately. You'll find it all on the Money Shot page on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.